Always Holding a Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazam Maja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Mike Franz, Joe Mikendo, Trayvon Brady, Dylan D'Antonio, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Mindard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Fansler, Darren Kirsch, T. Hamill, Jared Gibbs, Braden Arnold, and Erica Flynn. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Holding a Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman Show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Marr, and we're back with another crisis special because there's been some breaking news. Apparently, there's going to be breaking news every day until this thing starts. And so I have with me Miss Lauren Wynn. What's up, Lauren?
Hi there. I'm really impressed with like how reporterly you sound right now.
Well, thank you. I do have a degree in journalism.
There we go.
Unlike Clark Kent on Smallville, who apparently just signed up for a Daily Planet internship and got it or something. So anyway. So. It's been actually a week since we talked last,
yes.
Lauren, and so much has happened in the Crisis on Infinite Earths news, and unfortunately we don't have any more Smallville cast members to announce. I was all prepped and ready to go and do one on Rosenbaum,
right?
Coming back, right?
And then on Monday,
but apparently yeah, he's not coming back now. So this is going to be like an all-encompassing crisis update, if you will. I guess that's what I'll call this. But what are your thoughts first and off the top about Rosenbaum not coming back? I have my own thoughts. I've seen a lot of the fans comment online various ways, but I'm curious what you think about it.
I think I kind of know your thoughts, and I know that I feel the exact opposite. You know, I love Michael Rosenbaum, but I don't think I need him for the crossover, because it's really interesting that this is kind of turning into like a whole, like, you know, basically just giant Superman fest, like into the Superman verse, basically.
into the Superman verse.
It kind of is. But that said, like, I don't need multiple Lex Luthors for that. It's really because it's really fun to get multiple Superman, because we've had like three on the CW network. And if you have Superman, you have to bring in Lois. Like, that's just their package deal. But I don't need another Lex Luthor. And I really hate to say this because I was a naysayer for a while, but I am really happy with John Cryer as Lex Luthor. I wish he looked younger, but I think his portrayal is pretty perfect.
I wish he looked younger. That's a good question. No, I also think John Cryer is excellent. I mean, he's probably my second favorite Lex Luthor after Rosenbaum now. I mean, very strong in his episodes that he was in on Supergirl. So I was very pleased by his take on the character. The beard is an interesting take, right?
Right. I don't want to make it all about appearances, but I think it's funny that the CW did even find a workaround for it. It's apparently like the cancer that made him look so old. So they acknowledge it. He does look a lot older than he's supposed to look. Yeah, and I think Smallville's Lex Luthor works very well in the Smallville universe, but when I watch John Cryer, I really get a feel for how I think Lex is supposed to be in all forms of media. It'd be great to have Michael, but we do have to keep in mind that this isn't just like a Superman story. It's twisting the entire universe.
Fair enough. Now, I see a lot of it, because just if you're listening to this podcast, I'd be shocked if you didn't like keep up to date with this stuff. But, you know, of course, everyone has been inundating Michael Rosenbaum, not just the last couple weeks, but pretty much since last fall when Elseworlds ended. And they're like, Crisis on Infinite Earths coming next. And I'm like, oh, well, of course, they're going to get the Smallville people. And so people have been inundating them with these questions. And finally, on Monday, I believe it was, Rosenbaum says he posts a tweet with like a screen cap message he wrote. You know, when you have a lot of info to get across and people make a screen cap of it and then post that as their tweet, as a picture. It basically said, okay, guys, a lot of y'all have been asking me. Here's the deal. I was visiting my grandpa and they called me on Friday. My agents called me and they said that CW called them and they offered and they said they needed an answer immediately, but they didn't tell me what episodes, what I'd be doing. It'd be for no money. So I said no. All right. And that was the gist of it, you know. And I commented on his tweet and it said, hey, thank you for the candid response, you know, because I appreciate him at least acknowledging it. Because it means, like, how long are you going to go without acknowledging this? I mean, him and Welling have been tied at the hip going to conventions now for the last, you know, year and a half. So right. It would be weird for him just to ignore this. And here's my deal. He did this exact same thing with the series finale. All right. There was a story on Entertainment Weekly. Rosenbaum says no. And his agent said, oh, he's moved on from it and that kind of thing. And then a couple weeks later, he pops up and he's in the finale. Right. So right. I don't know if that's going to happen here. But I will say this is a pattern of, you know, public negotiation, if you will, because if you look at his Twitter now, as of this recording, Screen Rant did some article about like the best Lex Luthers, and he was ranked the best Lex Luthor, and he's like, oh, thanks, guys, and he tagged it to his Twitter. That is public negotiation. That's like, hey, guys, people think I'm the best. You need to pay me the best, right? I want to know what's going on, X, Y, Z. And look, I get it. I truly do see both sides of the situation. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Rosenbaum is going around to conventions and his podcast, and it's like, hey, I was Lex Luthor from Smallville. I'm friends with Tom Welling. Right? Him and Welling are going to all these things, like living on that persona for a while, and that's great. But it's like, bro, like it's not about scheduling or scripts or money. It's about just coming back. Tom Welling is coming back. Okay, like Tom Welling, he is coming back.
That what, is the benchmark. If Tom is coming back, you can come back.
Yeah, because I get that, like, Tom was there for all 10, Michael was there for 7. It was like he had to, you know, kind of it was moving heaven and earth to get him back for the finale, but it happened. So we're in a very interesting position here, Lauren, where I think we could have a switch of the finale situation, because I've said that, like, you know what? We didn't get Tom Welling as Superman in the finale. We didn't get him in a costume, but we got Rosenbaum back. So I'm very happy with that. But now, my friends, we have the potential, and I don't know what's going to happen, but Welling is in crisis. Is he going to dress up as Superman? If we get that and Rosenbaum doesn't come back, we have a complete reverse from the finale, and fans could be walking away with this with a complete 180 on what they, you know, where they stand on these actors and their appearances. So I'm still love Welling. I still love Rosenbaum. I don't harbor any resentment, but to be honest, I am disappointed in how this played out, because it's like, man, just come back for the fans just for a day. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I want, right?
Right.
So maybe that's me being selfish as a fan. Maybe so. And I will admit that. But I just, you showed up for a day for the finale. You can show up for a day for this. Does it matter, quote unquote, what the script is or what the pay is? Like, does he want every question he is asked for every convention until the day he dies to be like, hey, man. Why didn't you come back for Crisis? Because, you know, that's what it's going to be.
That's exactly what will happen. You have a point. I never thought about that. Okay, so I don't actually listen to his podcast. Does he, and you said that he talks about being Lex Luthor a lot. Does he play up the Wally West thing as much? Or is it like completely, I'm Lex Luthor?
Well, to be fair, he's not like, you know, it's not his bread and butter as far as the podcast goes. He has a lot of friends in the industry. For example, Dax Shepard. Guys like that, the bigger names that have kind of brought, you know, notoriety to his podcast. He has had Smallville weeks. So like he's had Welling, Kristen Crook, John Glover, Justin Hartley on the show. Yeah, he's had Stephen Amell on the show. You know, they've gone into business on that wine company, appeared at many conventions together. He's had Daniel Pennebaker from The Flash on, so that's kind of his Flash in. You know, okay. so he's had genre people, you know,
right.
And I haven't listened to every episode by far. I've listened to obviously all the Smallville episodes and then also episodes of like people who are like, he said Dolph Lundgren on, You know, I mean, he was, of course, you know, Ivan Drago, but he was also in the Arrowverse recently. So, right. I mean, who, you know, at, you know, working on the fringes of the industry as we do, you know, we know that like you have webs of connections and it's all about, oh, well, so-and-so can hook me up with this and that. So I'm sure right. there's a lot of that going on. So.
Yeah. He's like working it on that front. But so it's kind of weird if he doesn't follow through and then sort of honor where he came from. And you're right. Like it's with these things, it's not about money. It's not about scheduling and time. Like if you show up for 5 minutes, they'll be happy to have you for those 5 minutes, as he proved like 10 years ago. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing him, but it's not ruining my day. I just know that you feel very differently about it.
I feel very strongly about it. I really do. And you know, they're going to be filming this for weeks. This is 5 episodes. These things take 7 to 8 days to film. So this will be a month or 2 months to get this whole thing done. So there's still time. Like if they do some kind of like Welling goes back to his Earth and President Lex is there or something like the one
just
thing
reshoot
I want
these same exact
yes.
scenes.
the one thing I want in my life, right, is I want the scene from and these other Superman interpretations do it great. I think the last scene in the Lois and Clark pilot between Clark and Lex, Superman and Lex Luthor, right? That scene, or the last scene in the Superman the Animated Series in the first episode between Superman
and Lex
Luthor. I was
about to say,
it's
like the same scene where he disappears outside of his office, right. And he's like, it's hey, exactly butthole, basically.
Yeah, it's exactly, look up, right? It's exactly the same scene. I want that scene between the two of them. Now, I felt like we got that in the finale, to an extent. Like, I think that was an excellent scene between Clark and Lex. It was so good. It salvaged the finale for me. But I want that with Lex Luthor being Lex Luthor and Clark Kent being Superman. I want that. Right. But I'm not going to be destroyed if we don't get it. But as they died in the Will Smallville guy here, I'm like, I would be lying if I said I wasn't extremely disappointed with how it's turned out with Rosenbaum. So, because he's been the ringleader. He's been the guy like making the Smallville reunion. He's going to conventions. Right. You know,
he's kind of who brought Tom into the fold. Like Tom mm-hmm. is here because of Michael. So now it's weird that Michael's not here.
It's odd. It is odd. So it's just, anyway, that's where we are in Rosenbaum. I'm sad to report this is I was hoping that our third crisis special will be Michael Rosenbaum is back. Oh my God. No, but it's not. So here we are. So that's your Rosenbaum update. Also an update. All right. We got our first picture of Clark Kent, Lois Lane, Tom Welling, Erica Durant on set in costume on the Kent farm in Canada. What are your thoughts, Lauren?
That came out yesterday. I want to say around 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. or and I absolutely couldn't function like after that. And then it just became, I just kept on escalating into various degrees of dysfunction after that because other stuff happened. But,
and this is following up because the previous day, Erica Durant had posted on her Instagram like, hey, first day on set is Lois. And she took a selfie and she looks great.
She does.
And Welling looks great too. I know people are like, hey, he's gained some weight. He's 42. All right. People are used to seeing 25-year-old prime of his life cut Tom Welling. And they're like, you know, I understand Tom's put on a few, but he's actually, I think Tom slimmed down a lot and kind of look. I look at that picture of him like, you know what? That could be a few years after the series finale. Like, I think he cleaned up very well because he wears like a scruff now. He's got like a goatee going.
Yeah. And they did his hair the same way. Like, yes. Someone posted an image of him. From or maybe it was you. It was probably you. Like a comparison image from the finale, and like his hair is parted the same way, and you can definitely see like it doesn't look like there's as much distance there. And it's not that like he's gained weight, but it just more so looks like he has more of like a man's body than he did before, which is crazy to say about grown ass man Tom Welling. But it's really crazy. Side note, and I'm not criticizing. It's very interesting to see Lois Lane without bangs because like that's. Something that Erica Durant's like uniquely like completely rocked as Lois. Tom's wearing plaid there in front of the farm. It's I have a lot of feels.
So it's interesting. So let's speculate for a minute. Like I thought, oh, we're gonna get them at the Daily Planet, right? That'd be cool. Apparently,
yeah.
we're gonna get them at the Kent farm. I didn't think they go to the Kent farm because
I know
because the Kent they use the same location for Earth 38.
Yeah, right?
For Hawkland and. Tulloch. I'm mixing first and last names all together, but you guys, you know, yeah, the Supergirl, Superman, and Lois.
Right.
That was that Clark and Lois's Clint Farm. So it's
like, honestly, so this... if they cut to the farm again, they play the Smallville music again, I will completely get on my feet and start cheering. Like it will work twice. It's a gimmick and it will work twice.
And that's so funny because this is what I said back in the day. I was like, you know, I almost wish they wouldn't have used that because that's like Tom and Erica's thing, but we're never going to get them. So it's fine. But now we are and it'll be weird, but do it again. I don't care.
Yeah.
So they're going to find them working on the farm, right? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's just a nice, easy way for Tom. Tom, it's like, damn it, Tom. You don't wear glasses. You don't wear a cape. Like, wear something. He's wearing a flannel shirt.
It's red.
Like, but it's classic. Like, you have to laugh at this point. And I think, you know, I don't know. I'm on record saying I would be shocked but elated if he wears some form of a costume. But if he doesn't, it's going to be hilarious to see the lengths they go to, you know, explain why he's not wearing one, right? So either way, I'm going to be entertained.
Right, and I have a feeling Erica wasn't even supposed to post that, but she did.
Oh, no. I think they're going to be very... I don't think we'll see any more pictures of Tom until the time comes, because like now it's like, all right, bro.
I don't know about that. I would have said that yesterday. I would have said that maybe 24 hours ago. But this last day has completely messed up everything for me. I just want to lay out the timeline of what has happened the last 30 or so hours. So yesterday around 12 p.m., around noon, we got the photo of Tom and Erica. And yes. Then I think a couple hours later, this wasn't like a news announcement, but it was something that kind of, you know, people clocked. Justin Hartley was following Tom and Erica on Instagram at the exact same time. It was like a very strategic, like it was in the same screen cap.
I like what you said. You're like, how is this not a thing already? Like, how are you not following these people on Instagram?
Yeah, because I saw that and I sent it to Zach, right? I'm like, that's kind of sad. Why is, you know, you guys were on a show together for like 4 years or something. Like, anyway, so he started following them yesterday, so my mind just went to cooking away. And then last night, what was that, like around 9 o'clock or something, we got the casting news that just kind of broke me, because there's a lot of stuff that's happened that's been pretty crazy. But as I stated in my last episode, I always assumed Tom would be back. Even if I didn't realize it, I just kind of already did, and then by default, I assumed that Erica would be there. But they cast someone that I didn't expect, because I would just never, ever think that they would go down this route. They cast, or not cast, someone is reprising a role from, what is the opposite of like Beloved? It's like the opposite of a Beloved TV show.
The forgotten television show, Birds of Prey. Yes.
A show that people very intentionally sweep under the rug and just kind of pretend never happened.
The black sheep of the WB.
Yes, there was a Birds of Prey TV show, which is funny because now we have a Birds of Prey movie coming out in just a few months. There was a Birds of Prey TV show where Mia Sara played Dr. Harley Quinzel, and this was during the time where you weren't allowed to wear a costume, so she dead ass had like a red turtleneck with like decolletage cutouts in like diamond cutouts. So it's like, oh, I'm a psychiatrist, I'm wearing a turtleneck, but I'm also kind of Harley Quinn because my turtleneck has diamond cutouts for no reason. Mm-hmm. And this is only like the beginning of how bad the show was.
Yes, this was during the second season of Smallville, if my timeline is correct. And it was the closest thing,
right?
It was the closest thing Smallville ever got to a spinoff, because they do mention like metahumans and meteor rocks and stuff in the show.
That was the first time that the word metahuman, I think, was used in live action. DC,
yeah. And so,
ever.
In theory, you could imagine, oh, this is because it was post Batman, because every Batman show, guys, has to either be pre Batman or post Batman. You can't have a Batman show anymore. Can't be any Batman, but you can have a show as long as Batman is gone, for either because he doesn't exist yet or he's left. So this
is
Birds of Prey.
I need to sigh more heavily just in case that didn't make its way into the microphone.
So this is the new Gotham, right? This is whole setup where like Bruce Wayne is left because Selina Kyle's been murdered, but they have a daughter, Helena.
Wait, she what? was murdered?
Selina was murdered by you know, we'll leave it. You guys can watch the show and discover that for yourself. I believe
I've watched the show in like 15 years, guys.
I believe it's on CW Seed. So if you look it up, and then it's definitely, isn't it on DC Universe as well? So it's a lot of places, but CW Seed is free. My best friend Lance Lester downloaded the whole show on his PS3, which I now have inherited because he has PS4 now. And so they're all on my PS3, so I can watch them all that way. But anyway, there are lots of ways to watch this show.
Yes, and I need to properly unpack what I just like said, because I never even mentioned like who they're bringing back.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anywho, so there was this Batman universe show that was really, really bad. It was the closest thing we had to a Batman show, and that in itself was an accomplishment, but it was really, really, really bad. I still have a soft spot for it, as I think a lot of people do, because we were so hungry back then. But the show was primarily focused on Helena Kyle.
Yes.
Helena Wayne in the comics, I guess, is what she's known as, but she's Helena Kyle in the show. Huntress, which, by the way, flashback to me watching season one of Arrow and then being like, there's a huntress named Helena, and it's not Catwoman's daughter. I didn't know that. Anyway,
well, that's the Earth One Huntress.
I
the
know.
Earth Two Huntress is the daughter of Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle. So,
so that's how I found that out. I was like, "What? How is she old enough to be dating Oliver?" Anyway, so it was centered around Helena Kyle and Diana Lance, who was the daughter of a previous Black Canary, I think also named Dinah Lance, maybe.
The Black Canaries have always been complicated for these live-action shows to
And by the
out,
way, her
yes.
mom is Aunt Becky. Oh, and it was about Barbara Gordon as Oracle. Like,
yeah.
Wheelchair, tech genius, and like, what's her name? Is Dina Meyer. Is
that... Yeah, from Starship.
She was great.
Everyone would know her best from Starship Troopers, so.
Right. She was one of the good things about the show.
Absolutely.
So, there, the actress who played Helena Kyle, Ashley Scott, was announced to be reprising her role as Helena Kyle last night. And guys, again, I cannot just describe to you how unprepared I was for this. Because let's take a moment to appreciate. Out of all the crisis news that's come up, I would say there's probably three things that are most shocking. Brandon Routh being Superman, because the fact that they got permission to do that. Kevin Conroy being a live-action Batman for the first time. And Burt Ward coming back as Robin. However... All these people have worked in the zeitgeist like recently or like reprised, you know, like for example, Brandon Routh was on Legends. Kevin Conroy has never stopped being Batman. And
yes.
Burt Ward, he voiced Robin in Batman versus Two-Face and the sequel animated movie a couple years ago. So like they've all recently done that. Ashley Scott, like I don't know what she's done since. If she's done anything. And again, this is just a show that is not talked about. So it's such a weird thing, but this is literally the most shocking thing that's come out of this entire like crossover casting news for me.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, because we've been talking about this pretty much not. Laura and I talk every day now because of Crisis on Earth.
Because so, we have to. Yeah.
So yeah, it is. That's a great point you made, because it's like, yeah, all these people are kind of surprising to a certain amount of to a certain degree. Like even Tom Welling, it's like. In our heart, we always kind of knew and hoped, and then it kind of became flesh, and there he
right.
is, right? But, you know, he was, you know, he's doing conventions, and he's known as Clark Kent, you know, Smallville was just, quote-unquote, just 8 years ago. But, you know, Ashley Scott,
like so much longer.
That was 17 years ago.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's put that in perspective. 17
oh
years ago. This was a one-season wonder. This was a half-season wonder,
yeah,
really.
It was like a 13-episode season.
Or yeah, and
was
that was
it. Like
it.
Even
and then there was
it like 11?
No, yeah, I think it was 13, and there was that was it, right? And yeah, here she is coming back. So I think you know, the actress who played quote unquote Black Canary on the show is currently
Rachel Skarsten. Yeah, she is currently Alice on Batwoman.
Yeah, so it's like okay, well, is she going to come back? You would think so, because she's there already. And then it's like, oh, let's get Dina Meyer in here and let's have the Birds of Prey reunion. I mean, like, why not, right? This introduces a whole other wrinkle, because I was thinking, like, what time periods are we talking about here? Because I thought everything was going to be in... But it's like, clearly that has to be the future from now, if Batman
and maybe,
has a,
oh, a so maybe
45-year-old
like...
daughter, right? So I'm just... I don't even know. So, yeah, Burt Ward... I don't know if they're going to combine the Burt Ward with... The Birds of Prey. I don't think they will, because that makes him way older. I think he'll be on his own Earth somewhere.
No. I mean, like, so if Burt Ward, I have no idea how old he is. I'm assuming he's like 60 or 70. Or
he's got to be like 70.
Right. So actually, that would make sense for him to be. It would make sense for him to be 70 if, when Bruce Wayne's daughter is like 45
well,
or something.
This is all very. It's like what continuities are they going to tie together?
I don't
right?
know.
Because Birds of Prey was like a vague sequel to the Burton Schumacher movies. You know, vague, okay? Because they even use stock footage of the show and that kind of stuff, and has the same kind of feel to it.
Side note, if no one's ever heard of that, they had a voiceover from Mark Hamill in like the first 5 minutes of the show.
That's
pretty iconic.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that was like everything to us.
That was that was everything. That was before Mark Hamill shows up as the trickster on The Flash. This was like, oh my God, it's live action, sort of. Mark Hamill is the Joker.
Right, because they cast a body double who looked really, really, really good. He looked like, the body double looked like if you took the Joker from Batman the Animated Series and you made him a real person, and then he had the same voice as like Joker from Batman the Animated Series.
I've watched the first 10 minutes of Birds of Prey like probably 50 times over the years, but
same.
The rest of the show,
same.
Not so much. So, and they even reused some of the Bat costumes from the Burton Schumacher movies.
The bat suit like the yellow target Batman?
Yes,
like
as I understand it, that's the same guy. Bruce Thomas was his name. People remember that because it's Bruce Wayne, Thomas Wayne. Anyway, the actor's name is Bruce Thomas. He's like kind of a stunt actor, and he played Batman in all the OnStar commercials back in the day. If anybody knows what those are, look them up. So there was some continuity there. They also reused the Barbara Wilson bat suit from Batman and Robin they've repainted it as Barbara Gordon's in Birds of Prey when she has flashbacks.
Oh. I didn't know
that.
Or visions
where she's Batgirl. Yeah, so they paint the bat yellow and they have the proper cowl. So
it's amazing.
Anyway, there's just so much just like connective tissue there. So there's that, right? Here's what I think. I think Kevin Conroy is going to be Helena Kyle's dad. He's going to be the Bruce Wayne of the Birds of Prey universe. And back in the day, people were like, oh, this is so cool. If Alfred's on the phone with Bruce Wayne, it should be Kevin Conroy. And if Harley goes and visits the Joker in Arkham, it should be Mark Hamill. Like, use the voices. Lean
right
into that. Remember they did that with Harley Quinn and Arrow in season 2, back when they thought they had
Arlene Sorkin, right?
It was either Arlene Sorkin or Tara Strong. Tara Strong's kind of taken over from Arlene Sorkin.
Oh.
So I'm not sure which one
I'm
of the two was the voice.
Up.
Look, yeah, please look it up. Because I am curious now, too, because there's been like a passing of the mantle of the character at some point, because now the voice of Batgirl, Tara Strong, has now become the voice of Harley Quinn as well.
Tara Strong.
It was? Okay. Because Arlene Sorkin's kind of retired from all this. But anyway, the point is, I like how they're leaning into the continuity of the Ant-Man universe, because that is like the iconic versions for so many generations of people now. So that's all amazing. I'm going to keep my eye on this. Very curious to see what other characters pop up, because they're still announcing characters, right?
Right. Well, because that's something that I discussed this with you, but I would like to bring it up for the sake of the podcast. Also, I love LOL. We were both like, oh, let's just have like a quick episode. These are never going to be quick episodes. We're going to be recording for like another 30 minutes, guys. But I'm just going to put all my thoughts out there because I have them, and like it's great discussion point. So my thought yesterday, and I messaged you this verbatim, is once they announced this, my mind was blown. And then I started thinking, who in their right mind would think to bring someone from Birds of Prey? Like, it was kind of like a rhetorical question, but then I had an answer to that. I realized someone who would think to bring in a character from a Birds of Prey show, like the show that did not do so well 17 years ago, was never really talked about ever again. It's someone who must be systematically going through every single DC property and thinking, who can we bring in here? And because I don't want to be blindsided like this with casting information again, like I cannot tell you how much of a heart attack I had when this happened. I didn't know what I was reading at first. So then I started brainstorming like, oh, what could they do? Like at this point, like, should I expect David Mazouz from Gotham? Should I expect... They already said that they tried to get Cameron Cuff and he wasn't available from Krypton.
Yeah, unfortunately,
But it's like, consider every single, literally, because we have someone from the Batman 66 show on here now. We have someone from the animated universe now. We have someone from this failed, like, ugly stepchild show that happened like 17 years ago and was never talked about again. We have someone from that. So, like, I know I've been saying this every time that, oh, like, anything's possible now. Like, when I said that when Brandon Routh was brought to the fold as Superman. I said that when Tom and Erica were brought on. But, like, oh my God, literally anything. And if they're talking to Michael as recently as like last week or whatever, they're still casting. They're still trying to write stuff, which is interesting and scary. And I don't know about that. But, you know, maybe there's still room for us to speculate on who could come into the show. I was thinking someone who is on Gotham, Marina Baccarin, she's actually been in like six different DC productions. She As Leslie Tompkins on Gotham, she voices Gideon on The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. And then in animated roles, she was like Canary on Justice League. She voiced Talia al Ghul. And then in, I think she's a, in the current DC animated animated universe movies, I think she voices Talia. She voiced Cheetah once upon a time. And I think I'm forgetting one more role that she's done. But she's like the queen of DC and like, she's already working on the CW to an extent. Like, maybe she could pop on by for something.
I don't want Gotham to be connected to this multiverse, Lauren. I'm sorry. I'd rather them just leave Gotham out of it. But yeah, okay. Yes, it's a possibility, right? I mean, honestly, the ones I want to still see, Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher, but I think it's probably getting a little down to the wire to cast those guys. I just think, you know, they've both been in Supergirl.
Right.
So it's like you guys have been in contact. Yeah, Linda Carter.
Bring back all these season two people from Supergirl.
Linda Carter. Yeah, season two people from Supergirl. Exactly. Just go watch the show you made 2 years ago.
That's a good point. We don't have any Wonder Woman representation yet.
No, we need, because yeah, that's the thing. Like, we have a surplus of Superman. We have Batman elements. Obviously, we have Kevin Conroy. We have Burt Ward. We have the Birds of Prey coming in. We have Batwoman, obviously. Right. There's no Wonder Woman, right? So I don't know. She's part of the big three. I mean, Linda Carter is the one to get because she's the only, because you're not going to get any DCEU people in here. Let's be realistic, right? But Linda Carter has been on Smallville, has been on Supergirl, is a phone call away.
Was in Sky High. Yeah. She loves stuff like that. So I'm not Wonder Woman, you know.
I think it's very good. I think what they're going to do is she'll be one of those surprises, you know? Because, I mean, do we really want to know everything?
Yes.
Yes and no, right? So I think, you know, for she'll have like a scene, right? But it'll be an amazing, like, oh my god, it's invisible jet fluid and save the day. So anyway, that's what I think. I think that they'll do something like that with Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. I think that's inevitability. Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher, I don't know, right? I mean, there's lots of conversations to be had about them, but I think right now we have three Supermen as it is. It'd be kind of a stretch to have another one, but literally, if you're bringing everything in, bringing in Birds of Prey, you need to look at bringing in some aspect of Lois and Clark. That's the way I see it. So,
additionally, and I know this is weird because it seems like they're bringing in everything that came before in the Arrowverse, but Titans is a Berlanti show. That's actually very easily doable. Like, and this is, and that's not even like a network thing. They're not dominated or controlled by a network. It's on its own streaming service. It makes you wonder, like, money aside, if they wanted to get these actors, they very well could.
Do they even want to open that?
I do not expect Connor Leslie to appear as Wonder Girl. Like, I have negative expectations of that. The only thing I could ever see happening is if they got Brenton Thwaites for like a second, but I think he's way too expensive. He's the only one who would make sense because he's such a focus in Titans.
Well, if there's ever, here's the deal, right? I am not a Doctor Who fan at all, right? I watched the 50th anniversary special of Doctor Who, right? And they did a very brilliant thing. They had a thing where they had all the Time Lords from all the different time periods, because, you know, if anyone's unfamiliar with Doctor Who, it's a character that regenerates, and there's been 12 and now 13 iterations of the character. So they had a big, like, they all came together at this one point in time, and they were very cleverly used stock footage and like monitors on screens of like seeing every single version of every character was represented. So at some point there'll be some montage or you know, either some kind of like montage of all the universes or something like the Architect's Room in the Matrix Reloaded, where like there's screens and you see everything on everything.
See,
I think that's how they
do
it. Yeah.
I want that. And I want that, but I want that for DC Extended Universe. Like, if we have something kind of like Barry running through the time stream and seeing the 90s Flash, like,
exactly.
Just give me a shot of Henry flying. That is all I need, because this has almost every single Superman that has ever Supermaned in my life in it. And if you can put Henry in there, oh my gosh, I will be crying out of happiness.
I know you brought that up last time too. Poor Henry's not invited to this party. Well, that's a great segue to Brandon Routh.
Going back to the reason why I cannot function today is, like, 12 p.m. yesterday, that Lois and Clark photo was posted. Somewhere between the hours of 12 and, like, 4, the news that Justin was following Tom and Erica on Instagram hit. And then, like, 9 o'clock or something, later that night is when the whole casting for Birds of Prey came out. And then today, around 12 p.m., we got a photo of Brandon Routh as Kingdom Come Superman. Like, he's wearing contacts. It looks like he might have prosthetics around his eyes, or they did some Photoshopness to make him look a little bit older. He has trunks. He has a belt. It's a really cool photo. He has the gray on the side of his head. You know, that was great. And like, I was losing my mind for about 4 straight hours. And then Brandon Routh posts another photo, another studio quality photo on his Instagram around like 4 p.m. And then 2 hours after that, Alex Ross posts a full body photo of him. And guys, like, this is not how images are released, like, ever. This is not how that happens. So I'm just losing my mind right now because, like, calm down. I cannot focus. I can't get any work done. Like,
I've been so unproductive this week, and now we're having to do podcasts about it. It's just taken over my life in a good way. But it's like, Brandon Routh, let's talk about Brandon Routh for a second. As you said, I am so happy for him, and I've said this on social media too. Like, there, no one deserves this more than him, because I have issues with Superman Returns. I loved it when it came out. I have gone a 180 on it the further I get away from it, right? But he was not the problem with that movie.
Like, the best and worst part about Superman Returns is it was nostalgic. On one hand, some people really loved that. On the other hand, people found that it wasn't original enough. Then, going off of that, Man of Steel had to take the failure, a quote-unquote failure for Superman Returns, even though that movie killed it, to be honest.
It was a response to Superman Returns.
And it was a response to the Dark Knight trilogy, too. But because of that, that Superman movie was basically, we cannot do this nostalgic thing at all. So they made something new, and then the people who, you know, weren't about it were like, man, that's not my Superman. Everyone has different versions of Superman. Like, it's not really like Batman, where like everyone kind of just looks at Batman from the animated series and they're like, that is who Batman is. Superman's pretty polarizing on which depictions people like. I have so many Superman fans that are friends, and I feel like all of us have a different Superman, or like all of us have different amalgamations of what we prefer. I'm extremely happy for Brandon Routh. I think he looks great. That costume, like, you know, here's something that I didn't know that I wanted to see again. I think I spiritually got to a place where I was like, okay, I guess the trunks are gone, except I wanted to see them in comics. I hate when they don't put them in trunks in the comics. I didn't think I'd see him like a live action Superman in trunks ever again, but there they are. They look great. And I think it's a testament to how good of a Superman Brandon is, he can still pull that off, and he looks amazing. He just has so much like gravitas in that role. Poor Tyler Hoechlin, he is not going to cut it next to Tom, or like Tom, even if Tom doesn't wear a suit, Tyler's going to basically be invisible next to both of them.
Ralph was hitting the gym hard the last few weeks, and all credit to him. I mean,
I'm
it
so
shows
happy
too.
For him.
Well, I mean,
you know,
he
deserves this part. He does. He's like done everything he can to make it amazing.
He's in his late 30s now, you know? I mean, he looks like a man.
I love him.
You know, like, look up how old he is, because when he was in Superman Returns, I mean, look, he
was 24.
24, a child. You know, you know, all things considered, right?
His neck was still skinny in places, and like,
you
know.
And now he's in his late 30s, and he looks like Kingdom. He looks like a grizzled Superman. And I love that. And that's an aspect of the character we miss. And same thing with Batman, too. And that's why I like Ben Affleck so much. I'm like, this is a veteran hero with a chiseled jaw, manly man from the 40s, right? And that's when these characters were envisioned, right? And seeing that in live action is great. And so I want to see it, because we're like, we got to cast a young guy so we can make sequels and whatever, man. Just give me a grizzled, hardcore looking Superman. And Brandon Routh is that. And he looks better now than he ever did on Superman Returns. I'm very happy for him. And
yes,
I cannot wait to see him in action.
I think you have a point that, you know, I want to see more of the DC Extended Universe. If this somehow led to a film opportunity for Brandon, I don't know if they would continue. I don't know what they would do, because like there's some people are talking about if they don't go the route of Superman sacrificing himself in this crossover, maybe Brandon will, you know, bibbity boppity boop around these shows as one of these Supermen. I would be so down for that. Maybe just from the sheer amount of work and dedication he's done for this part, he's like, it's almost like indirectly campaigning for a, hey, I can still do this. You want me? I can still do this. He absolutely can. I was talking to a friend about this because all the Supermen have a different like pros to them, like pros and cons. Something that really impresses me about Brandon is even when he was 24 years old, he was able to adopt like this sort of Atticus Finch level of, I am relaxed and I know how to handle this and I will take care of it. And I think that's super, super important for Superman, especially Superman, the age that he's playing right now. But I don't know, just look at him. If you opened four doors and you had all like the different Supermen behind them, I would trust him the most. I love Henry, guys, like I do. But something about Brandon Routh, like I've always thought he did an amazing job as Clark Kent, as like Clark and as Superman. I'm just so immeasurably happy that he gets to do this again. And I hope he can do as much as he possibly can. Depending on if they actually adapt the Kingdom Come story, which they, in the promo image, the second promo image released today, he's doing the cover.
It is exactly the cover of Kingdom Come,
it's the Alex Ross cover, so it looks like they might.
I don't think they're going to do that story. I think they're
I hope not.
As the Kingdom Come Superman, right? Because they're doing Crisis. You can't combine these. See, that was Batman Superman's mistake. Let's do World's Finest and Death of Superman. They're using that as an understanding of what this character is. He's an older Superman. And to me, I'm like, so is this... This is truly the Superman Returns Superman, I would assume.
Is it, though?
I don't know,
right?
But I would think, because, see, everybody else, you know, John Wesley Shipp is the 90s Flash. Tom Welling is the Smallville Superman, Clark Kent. So this Ashley Scott is the Huntress from, you know. So this is him. WB wouldn't let them use a suit, which is fine by me, frankly, as I've been well established. But
which
I think...
Kind of, if they didn't let him use a suit, it makes you think that they wanted that suit because it's
exactly
that version of him.
Because they asked. That was so amazing about John Wesley Shipp. I'm like, this is the Flash from the TV show. He just showed up. It's amazing. It's not like him. It's like him as Jay Garrick. Oh, that's cool. It's the same actor, but it's a completely different costume. No, like I joked about it because John Wesley Shipp has aged very well, and he took a selfie of himself. And I was like, who went back in time and gave John Wesley Shipp an iPhone in 1990 on the set of the Flash?
Right.
Because it looks so. There's a certain level where I'm like, I didn't love the suit, but it's Brandon's suit, and I'm like, that's him from the movie. But now he's Kingdom Come. He's older, so I guess the question is this the Christopher Reeve Superman?
Well, no, that's the thing is, if this is Superman Returns Superman, then this is Christopher Reeve Superman in the show. And, like, I don't know how to deal with that.
Or at least one version, right? Because the branching, it's like 3 and 4 didn't happen in Superman Returns. So, I mean, it's a vague
but so,
sequel.
Like, as a fangirl, it makes me wonder, like, where's Lois in all this? Where is Jason? You know, like, they can't actually adapt Kingdom Come if they're using the Return storyline.
He would be the one survivor of his Earth, I think. You know, and then I assume. I don't know, right? But I'm like that. That's the way to clean all that up.
Basically, don't tell me that Kate Bosworth, Lois Lane, who by logic is Margot Kidder, Lois Lane. Don't tell me that woman is dead. Do not. Like, I need a
. They destroyed the whole world of the Flash 1990. And that's the struggle. And we were, you know, like, are they going to destroy every single one of our Earths? Because then I might have an issue.
So. They can't. No, they absolutely can't.
There's too much potential here to
have
crossovers
too much
forever.
Fun with it.
Yeah, you tell me they made this costume for, you know, 3 episodes or something. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe
I don't know.
They did. Also, oh my god, the costume looks so amazing. Like, I love that. Like. It's so weird. It looks, it's a strong man's costume. He has that leather belt. He has that ridiculous, like, very retro looking buckle that still looks amazing because that is Brandon Routh's, like you know, that's how he carries himself.
Don't shy away from it. Like, don't be ashamed of the costume of the origin. Because other people get upset for many reasons when they translate their favorite things to the screen from comics. But I think you see, people love the way it is. Why change it unless you have to? Like, this is page to screen. What Christopher Reeve, he was wearing a comic accurate costume, and his presence is what made you believe, like, this guy, like, what is this guy? But his presence made you take this guy seriously and, like, believe, you know, because he believed. Like, people are like, oh, we got to make him look cool and edgy, can't be wearing underwear outside his pants, you know, but it's back.
Well,
and I love
the thing is, apparently Zack Snyder tried his hardest to make that work, and basically it came down to, I can probably visually make this work, but there's still no reason why this alien would be wearing, like, a small piece of fabric outside of his underarm, his undersuit. Which I can respect that.
I'm sure you saw the test photos of Cavill in Christopher Reeve's suit, right? That looked amazing.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, like, should you just done that?
Oh, no. I think, one of the huge contributions of Man of Steel is that changed the way costumes are made forever. Like, that is such an amazing, stunning costume.
I love the Man of Steel suit. I do. I feel like they got progressively worse as they went on. Like, I'm like, you nailed it.
The Justice League one looks a lot like the Justice League one looks. It reminds me of the Batman Robin suits. It looks like a helium balloon. It's so shiny.
Way too sculpted, way too bright. Absolutely.
Right. But I love the Man of Steel one. What was I saying? We were talking about costumes, Man of Steel, Zack Snyder. Oh, fun little sidebar, because apparently we just don't shy away from any of these sidebars on these podcasts. There's a photo that Zack Snyder took of Henry Cavill in that suit when he did his like screen test or his audition or whatever.
Yes.
I love that photo so much because it's kind of like a portrait of Zack himself. Like, there's a mirror behind him and you can see him holding the camera. It's pretty awesome. It's a photo of Henry Cavill, but it's also like a portrait, a self-portrait.
The iconography of the costume is timeless. Like, I think Batman you can change, because Batman has been, you know, it's a utilitarian armor, you know, adapted through the times of Superman. It's like, you know, it's an alien.
Cal, that is all you need.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything, you're like, okay, cool. The ears, gloves, belt, boots, symbol, everything changed. Superman, you know, ever, like, since like the 50s, it has been exactly the same. You know, like there was in the 30s, there was in 40s, they were finding their footing. But after that, it was like, this is the Superman costume, with rare exception to change. And that's why people were like, that's they want to see. And I think that was the issue. You know, the Christopher Reeve suit and his costume is like, he was this bright, colorful, primary colored figure in the real world. And you're like, wow, he's an amazing thing in our world. That's impressive. But Superman Returns felt the need to like this, put this brown filter on everything, kind of blends in. I'm like, he doesn't like stick out as much, you know, and I think that, you know, you want to see him pop. He is Superman. So anyway, like, I mean, you could talk forever about these pictures, but we're getting barraged by all this news. And like, I'm trying to get through my day and it's hard to do. You know?
So. Zach and I just basically became best friends over the course of a week because we've just been like pinging each other back and forth on all this.
That is true.
It's insane. I'm literally just like looking at my phone and looking at photos of Brandon Routh right now, because I cannot believe how incredible he looks. This is just truly amazing. No matter what happens on this crossover, just from what they have already shown that they're trying to do is just like the biggest feat basically in DC history, I think.
They get an A+ for effort.
Yes, they
do. That's for sure. An A+ for effort. Not just an A, an A+.
As long as they don't do something like really offensive with the writing, they already nailed this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I've been telling people this. This is what, as a kid, you sit around the lunch table and talk about with your friends. And we're seeing it now. I mean, what a time to be alive.
Well, I don't know how we did it, but I think we got through all the news. That was it, right?
We did. Yes, that was pretty much it. So... I guess we'll be back next week with a crisis update. No, I don't know. Who knows?
Who
next
knows?
Week will, bring?
Will I make
there's,
it?
There's no way to
oh,
know.
Oh, wait, hold on. Comic-Con is next week, though. We might, like, I could die next week.
Oh, my. That's right. New York Comic-Con. That's where they're gonna bring out Michael Rosenbaum as Lex Luthor, right?
Who knows?
Yeah, we made a deal. We made it work.
Who knows?
We backed up the Brinks truck, paid Michael. He's back now. So, I don't know. I hope you guys enjoyed my... my joke about showing that season 8 Lex Luthor. It's like, new image of Lex Luthor from Crisis on Infinite Earths. The one from Requiem that everybody calls Darth Lex. I think they might be done, but they keep surprising us every day. Like, that's not an exaggeration.
Today,
every day there is news.
Every couple hours.
Every guy, come on! It's a Friday! Give us a break!
Well, that's the thing is, I think they are gung-ho on their Fridays, because last Friday, we were already like stimulated from the Tom Welling announcement, and then the Erica Johnson came a day later. So basically, beware Fridays, because they're doozies.
Yeah, they do not take their foot off the gas, and I applaud them for that. So Lauren, thanks so much for coming back for another Crisis special. You're becoming a pillar of the podcast here. So it's been a lot, as you said, we're becoming best friends over the last week. So that's great. So if people want to find you out there online, where can they find you?
You can find me at Lauren Neckhalwin on Twitter. I also used to cosplay, and you can find me on Instagram at projectkr_.
Lois Lane cosplay.
Yeah, I did a Lois Lane.
Among
and
other
I did,
things, yes.
I did, it's funny, I did a Lois Lane cosplay, and I did a like a New 52 inspired Superboy. And it's funny because last night they announced like that story where Lois Lane, I think, is like the Eradicator, and she looks like she's wearing the Superboy costume because it's like a black Superman costume. It's like, oh, well, check.
There it is. So, All right. Well, you guys know me, but just for the podcast itself, you can find us at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. On email, you can find us on Facebook at Always On to Smallville, and you can find us on Twitter at alwaysmallville with one S. We'll be back before Crisis starts again at some point. Lauren is holding up a picture on her phone. And is that the picture of Brendan Routh that you're
I'm
snuggling?
I'm just so happy.
Right. Okay. it's now the background. It is now the background of her phone. Very good. Very
it's
good.
Not,
but yeah,
it's
so,
not. I'm just looking at it.
I know. So we'll be back, I assume, before Crisis. Because it's seriously, guys, it's like, what is this? This is the end of September. So we have 2 months left. I cannot, this is unsustainable. All right.
If I don't come back, assume I've died.
I literally can't even at this point, but I assume we'll be back with another, pre-Crisis special. But until then, guys, always hold on to Smallville.